All right, let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, to take this passage of Scripture and this story and use it. We pray, Father, you'd illuminate it. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Use it, Lord, in a way that I could never imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn to a well-known passage of Scripture, or at least a well-known story, 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21, and if you would also get Psalms chapter 16. 1 Kings 21 and Psalm 16. There are some, as you read your Bible and stuff, there's some classic stories in your Bible, and yet because it's such a big book, and perhaps today because Christians don't read their Bible like they used to, and that's not a criticism, it is a challenge though. Isn't it amazing that the world is challenging us to be healthier and wealthier and wiser? And the last thing they point you to is the Word of God. They'll tell you they want to use a few verses in some seminar somewhere, or they want to use a few little motivational sayings somewhere. But you're not going to hardly ever find somebody telling you how important it is to read your Bible and be familiar with it. In 1 Kings chapter 21 is an amazing story, and it says this: It came to pass after these things, starting in verse 1, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So there's a guy named Naboth, not Nabal, who was the curlish man, but Naboth, who you're going to find out is a good man. And Naboth is a Jezreelite, and he has a vineyard, and it says hard by the palace. In other words, he's a next-door neighbor to Ahab. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face, would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost not thou govern the kingdom of Israel? Well, yeah, he governed it, but he didn't own it. It's not his to do with as he pleases. Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Mission accomplished. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that he was very sad. No. He rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, How hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now here's what we know from this passage. Ahab did die later. Ahab's blood was licked by the dogs. hold your place in 1 Kings 21 and come to Psalm 16 and we'll begin our message. Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of mine cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Now I'm going to preach to you on my heritage, not for sale or trade. In this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of Bible verses that connect with it because he talks about his inheritance of his fathers. In 1 Kings 21, it says, the Lord is my inheritance in Psalm 16, verse 5. And he ties it with the word heritage because these two words go together. If you look at the very spelling of these words, they go together. H-E-R-I-T and H-E-R-I-T-A-N-C-E. And it's because that a heritage is an inheritance or an estate that is passed on. In Scottish law, it's the kind of estate that is immovable. It keeps passing on through the same family. In your Bible, he speaks of God's heritage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. And he's talking about God's people as a heritage. And so God is our inheritance in Psalm 16, verse 5. And for the Levites in Deuteronomy 18:2, it said that the Lord was their inheritance and they didn't have any land in the promised land. So Naboth had a heritage. Naboth had an inheritance. And Ahab wanted, not only wanted this heritage, but he wanted to change it. Now our Bible is sanctified history, and we learn things God's way of thinking. If you read this passage of Scripture, this story, and you were not saved, and you were not comparing it to other passages of Scripture, you'd come to this conclusion, Naboth been better off to sell. But that is not the conclusion you get when you read the Bible. So I'm here to tell you that the Bible crosses your thinking and my thinking every single day. And as you cannot trust your thinking, no matter how logical, no matter how many people you can get to say, yep, that's right, that makes sense. It only makes sense if it says that God said it makes sense. Now we've only got 3 points. It's not that long of a message. But I trust on my heart that you'll be able to say at the end of it, it's my heritage and it is not for sale or trade. You see, Naboth here tried to get him to sell it, and he wouldn't. He tried to get him to trade it off for something better, and he wouldn't, because it was supposed to be Naboth's vineyard, and it was not supposed to be Ahab's herb garden. 3 things. Number one, Naboth's vineyard was his heritage. Naboth's vineyard was his heritage. Let's talk about this just a little bit. See, this location was God's lot for him. You have a lot in your life. That term comes from the fact that when they went into the promised land, they cast lots, and whatever part of the promised land you got was according to where your name came up. That's just how it is. That's why he says the lot is cast in the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord in Proverbs 16:33. The location was God's lot for him. This vineyard, 3 things about it. It was a source of fruit, his fruit. This vineyard was whatever fruit he could bear. This is what God said was in his life. It was a source of fruit. It was the scene of his faithfulness. Source of his fruit, the scene of his faithfulness. You see, this, if he was going to be faithful, it was going to be in this inheritance. All God asks is according to that a man hath, and not according he hath not, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. God doesn't ask me to do what D.L. Moody did. He doesn't ask me to do what someone else did. But he does ask me to be faithful in my vineyard, and he doesn't give me the option of selling or trading it off. We as Christians have a heritage. We have an inheritance. The Lord is our inheritance. His word is our inheritance. His calling of our life is our inheritance. Naboth's vineyard was his heritage. This vineyard was the source of his fruit. It was the scene of his faithfulness. It was sought by his subtle foe. The one thing the devil wants, if he couldn't get your soul, is he wants to get your inheritance. The world wants you to upgrade, man. The world wants you to want to have better than you have. The devil sold Eve a grape on a vine in the Garden of Eden because he said, let's move up a notch, Eve. Let's get upgraded here. Don't you want to upgrade? Why, listen, Esau sold his birthright, and that's what Ahab's trying to get Naboth to do. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, mark this down, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, get what God says about you and about me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ready? Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Husbandry, that's a vine. It's a vine. It's anything to do with growing and agriculture. This vineyard is called you. It belongs to the Lord. You have an eternal inheritance. And it matters what you hold to. It matters what you believe. It matters what you do with your body. It matters what you do with your mind. It matters what you do with your money, because it's your inheritance. Naboth's vineyard was his heritage. You know, your Bible tells you that children are an heritage of the Lord. What you do with your children. You can't make them be preachers. You don't want to make them be evangelists and missionaries and all that kind of stuff. You can't make them stay in church, but bless God, you could sure raise them as if they were a heritage of the Lord. You know what I find people do today? They trade off their children so they can upgrade in the community. Trade them off to some ball team. They trade them off to some college or university. They trade them off to some business so they can have that favor. They won't be peculiar. They won't be separate. They won't even let the children grow up separate. They don't even give them a chance. They damn them because they have sold out their vineyard or traded off their vineyard. Naboth's vineyard was his heritage. See, it was all he had. You don't know that it was a great, great big vineyard. You just know that it was close to what Ahab wanted. It was right next door to Ahab. You know what the world wants? The world, a worldly guy, carnal guy, he wants that Christian girl. Because she probably isn't going to run off on him or run around on him. She probably is going to cook. She probably isn't going to cuss and swear and stink up the house with her dope smoke and all that. Yeah. You know the story is told that a Christian girl married, who we know as Mark Twain, and he worked methodically to get rid of her faith. And they came to a time in their life when they had a great need, and he went to her and he said, "It's time for you to get hold of your God." And she said, "You separated me from my God a long time ago. You're on your own." Yeah. You know what employers want? They want your children. You know what employers want? They want you. They want Christians, but they want you on their terms. They want you to sell out your heritage. They want you to trade it off. Some Christians have already traded it off. Listen, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm not giving up on that. I'm not even trading. I'm not upgrading or nothing. I'm an old-fashioned, old past, Jeremiah 6, Bible-believing, first-century Christian. And I'm not changing. And it's not for sale. And it's not for trade. I'm not going to trade it for your acceptance. I'm not going to trade it for your help. I'm not going to trade it for your lack of attacking me. Naboth's vineyard was his heritage. Number two, Naboth's victory was holding fast to his heritage. Even unto apparent death. You say apparent death, he died. No, he didn't. He passed over, brother. It just looks like he's dead. He ain't dead. He's more alive today than he's ever been. Amen. And you listen to me. The offer from Ahab appealed to Ahab types of people. All you got to do is listen to the offer and you'll know who's offering it to you. All you got to do is listen to the deal and you'll know if it's a God deal or an Ahab deal. You see, he said, "I can't do this. This is the inheritance of my fathers." And a real man, a godly man, would have said, "I don't know what I was thinking. You're right." But oh no, not these Ahab types. Listen, Ahab types offer you what they think an Ahab would take. And Ahab would sell out. In fact, when he brings this message to him, he tells him. He said, "I'm going to bring this evil on you." He said, "I'm going to let this happen to you because you sold yourself." Look at verse 25, chapter 21. "There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." Hallelujah. Naboth's victory was holding fast to his heritage. The offer from Ahab, the offense to Ahab, said, "Money doesn't talk. Everyone doesn't have a price." It showed Naboth's value on this inheritance. And he held it fast, and your Bible tells you over and over in the New Testament, for some people who have gotten themselves all messed up and twisted around thinking God has to say it over and over, he says, and he said, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." He says, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Listen, he tells us to hold fast, to stand fast, to hang on to. Naboth's victory was holding fast to his heritage. There's the offer from Ahab. It appealed to the Ahab types. There's the offense to Ahab. It offended him because he said, money doesn't talk, Abraham. Ahab. Everybody doesn't have a price. You might have, you dirty dog, but everybody else doesn't. Not everybody has a price. But number three, the obstinance. The obstinance towards Ahab. I love Naboth's obstinate spirit. I don't think he had a bad spirit. But oh, don't you know, he went away and he did. He said, man, that guy's just the most obstinate fellow I've ever seen. He just won't be budged. He said in Revelation 2:25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. He said in Revelation verse chapter 3, verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Chapter 3, verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now listen, he didn't take Ahab's inheritance from him. Ahab died with it intact. So yeah, but he killed him. No, he just shortened his physical life. He just sent him on ahead. But Ahab died with his inheritance, listen to me, in hand. Write this verse down, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Ready? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The obstinance towards Ahab. I thank God for this obstinate little character named Naboth. I thank God for his testimony. I thank God that his victory was he held fast. See, his vineyard was his heritage, and his holding fast was his victory. When I think about this character and you look at this scene and you think, what did it accomplish? If you're not careful, you miss it. If I die with my heritage intact, it doesn't matter when I die, because I didn't give it up. I didn't sell it out. I didn't do the Esau thing and minimize my birthright. Listen, I was born into the family of God. He birthed me into his family. He called me to do something in my life. And he said, however feeble someone else may make it, however frail you may feel at times in the face of all these people, however much they may fight you about it, if you will hold fast, if you die with your hand, listen, you know, the bumper sticker says you can have my gun when you pry it out of my cold, dead fingers. Well, you can have my Bible, and you can have my faith, and you can have my separation when you pry it off of my cold, dead body. But not until. Why? Because his victory was that he held fast to it. He died with his heritage. It didn't go anywhere. As far as God's concerned, it's still his heritage. But today, the pragmatism says, you need to upgrade. Don't you want to reach more people? Now see, that's a really stupid question. Because you're telling me that if the answer is yes, that my heritage has to go. Don't you want to have more influence? Wouldn't you like to have more fruit? I'll tell you what I want. I want as much fruit as I can get, listen to me, out of my vineyard. But I don't want none of your fruit, and I don't want nobody else's fruit, and I don't want nobody else, and I'm not letting somebody take my vineyard and turn it into a garden of herbs. Okay? Some of you former dope smokers know that there's a little play on words there by the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to say thirdly, Naboth's vindication was in the hands of the Lord. Naboth's vindication. Listen, his vineyard was his heritage. My life is my heritage. Everything, my body, my heart, my mind, my relationships, my friend, and anything I have, that is my vineyard. I don't have to plow anybody else's vineyard, but I've got to take care of mine, and you're not taking it from me. You're not going to be in charge. You're not going to tell me I can't take care of my own vineyard. You might kill me for trying to. You might do anything you can, but my vineyard is my heritage, and my victory is if I hold fast to it. And I'm going to tell you this, the vindication of Naboth was in the hands of the Lord. Now, no one can settle a score like the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can sit around and think a little bit about how to settle scores. And there's sometimes, and most it's not like weird, horrible things, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about, pulling somebody's fingernails out and all that, but there are ways of settling scores. And most of them are probably do with embarrassing people, you know, or tricking them up or something like that, or just watching some crazy thing happen to them. But nobody can settle a score like the Lord. What the Lord does shortly after this, as far as chapter-wise, is Ahab and Jehoshaphat go out to battle. And Ahab, he gets all his men together, all his 400 prophets together in chapter 22, verse 6, and they give this positive message, this upbeat positive message that you got to have. And one guy, Micaiah, isn't called to there. And finally Jehoshaphat says, don't you have anybody here that can ring the bell? Well, there's one guy, but I hate him. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, don't you be talking about no preacher like that that can ring the bell. So they send for him, and they say to Micaiah, now look, everybody's preaching the positive message today. Couldn't you just kind of slip in and do it and leave? Say, oh, yeah, right, sure. I'll just say what the Lord says. So he stands up in front of, I can just see this. He stands up in front of Ahab, and he does one of these. He goes, go and prosper. And Ahab says, I told you, don't mock me. Tell me what's on your mind, Micaiah. He says, okay, you're dead. You're dead, stupid. You're dead. And somebody smacks him. Where did the Spirit of the Lord go? And then he says, you feed him bread and water of affliction until I come back. And Micaiah says, if you come back, I ain't no prophet. So Ahab goes to battle dressed like it. And Jehoshaphat's so foolish sometimes. I mean, I like him, but it's just, what did he think would happen if he looked like the king of Israel? So they chase him, and he goes, oh, no, and off they go. And a guy fires, I shot an arrow into the air, and where it went, I know not where. I'll tell you where it went. It went in the crack of the armor of Ahab. Nobody settles a score like God settles a score. Nobody. Three things. Naboth didn't die. He crossed over victorious. Ahab died a horrible, slow, nasty death, and his name is synonymous with it through all of eternity in the Word of God. Naboth didn't die. Secondly, Naboth didn't lose his deed to his heritage. He didn't sign over that deed, brother. He didn't trade it. He didn't sell it. He didn't give it up. And when he died, it was right there with his name on it. And when God said, okay, nobody took your crown, Naboth, because the Lord. Naboth's vindication was in the hand of the Lord. Now listen, Naboth didn't do Ahab in, but the Lord did. I think of David. I'm wondering if they got where they were going, and David said, Naboth, man, I'm proud of you. You know, Naboth, you didn't really have any warning, but I sure am glad it wasn't you that did all Ahab in. I sure am glad the Lord did. And I bet old Naboth sat down and said, David, tell me what it was like to have Saul in your hand and let him go twice, knowing there's going to be more trouble. I think about old David like that, and I think, you know, no wonder God loved David. David had him in his hand. He said, well, David fell in sin. He did. He did. God took care of it. I'm going to say this. My heritage is not for sale or trade. You say, what heritage? I'm a Bible believer. I'm an old-fashioned King James Bible. There is no Bible today but the King James Bible. So don't you believe the Hebrew Old Testament? It was the Bible for the day. But God gave us a Bible today. I'm a Bible believer. I'll tell you what else I am. I'm a born-again, blood-washed, old-fashioned, first century. I believe in God's separation. I believe in God's sanctification. I believe in God's soul-winning. I believe in God's everything. You're not going to take away from me unless you pry it out of my cold, dead, stoned hands. My heritage. It ain't for sale. It ain't for trade. You say, but what if it gets you killed? Listen, that's the whole thing about Naboth. Is God would have been waiting there however he does it in the Old Testament and would have said, Naboth, put her there. Shook his hand. Well done, Naboth. Way to hang in there, son. Way to hang on to your heritage. Let me tell you this. Too many people today think that this life is what it's about. And it's not. And they think that this modern Christianity is what it's about. And it's not. It is all about the other side. It is all about the end of the way. Father, we pray you take this short message and use it. Lord, I pray that you'd stir up within us the fact that our heritage is not for sale or trade. Lord, we have a heritage. We're Bible believers. We're blood washed. We're born again. We're waiting for you to come back again. Lord, it would take us an hour to even go into all that means, but those who have a heritage know, and those who are getting a heritage and learning a heritage will understand. But let us get this message in our hearts. That no matter what, our heritage is not for sale or trade. Because it's all we have from you. May we hang on to it, Lord. May we use it to the fullest of its extent. In Jesus' name, amen.